At this season of the year, a normal assembly would be reading the Christmas story from the scriptures of the birth of our Lord and the story of Mary and Joseph and all of that. However, you're better taught than that. And you know that there's more to the story than just the beginning. And you understand that it's not about a babe in a manger. It's about a king on a throne. He started in a manger, but you know how you are. When you get around relatives and they want to whip out pictures of you in your birthday suit laying on a fur rug at 6 months, and all of your cheeks were showing, you don't want them to keep you in an infantile position. So why should we try and keep the Lord, the King of glory, the God of all creation, in a manger? But there are some things that you need to look at, because in the birth of our Lord, there was a picture presented of so much more than just He was born. His parents were picked out specifically, His mother and His father adoptive, because Joseph was not the father, he was the adoptive father. They were both of the lineage of David. So you have a woman and a man who came down through the same lineage of King David, and they were his father because he was to sit on the throne of David, and so that meant that he had to be of the lineage of David, although he was directly that by God, but by natural means he was also in his birth. People go, well, why was Jesus of Nazareth born in Bethlehem? You know, because I've taught you in the past, that there was an order of priests who did nothing but select the lambs that would be offered in sacrifice on the altar at the temple. And the lambing place was Bethlehem. That was the place where all the sacrificial lambs were picked out to be offered in sacrifice for the sins of the people of Israel. He was born in Bethlehem, and our God, who will change laws, times, and seasons to cause what needs to happen in your behalf, allowed that the whole nation was called to report for taxation. And so Mary and Joseph had to be in Bethlehem by law so that our sacrifice could be of the law that required the sacrifice to come from those that were picked out in Bethlehem. He wasn't picked out by the priesthood, but he was by the Lord of hosts. We could get into how he was born in a manger. Now that word takes away from it, and you should think of it this way. He was born in a stable, and they laid him in a feed trough. Raymond, what a perfect picture. The bread of life, that which we were to eat and partake of, was laid in a feed trough at his birth. Because not only was he born a sacrifice, he was born of the living bread. The Word made flesh. We could go into stories about he was born to common man, and yet royalty, wise men, noblemen came and worshiped at his birth. We could talk about so many things that was a part of that birth, but today I felt led to take in a different direction. And that direction is getting the un out of believing. If you can believe in a babe in a manger, you can believe in a king on a throne. If you can believe that God could change all the things that had to be changed so that he could be born according to the law, according to prophecy, and everything come out the way it was supposed to, then you can believe that God can take care of whatever it is you need on time and in the right way it should be done. But we're approaching the subject of unbelief from a different perspective today. Unbelief is a crippling mindset that prevents many from possessing what is already theirs. We used to sing a song, "Every promise in the book is mine." But Friday, did we believe it? Did we believe that every promise in that book was ours? Well, Pastor Jim, my mind can't comprehend with over 300 promises that belong to me. My mind can, because my God is more than enough. But I want to take you to Luke chapter 1. And we'll go to just a brief reading to set the stage for our message today. As we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. He's talking and she's going, "What are you talking about?" The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I tell you, it's not a greater phrase you can hear than that you have found favor with God. And if you have received the Yeshua HaMashiach of God, the Lord Jesus, your personal Savior, you have found favor with God. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him..." We know this is not true. The angel said, "You shall name him Yeshua," the very last word of the 91st Psalm. "And I will show them my salvation, Yeshua." But the writers of the King James picked a name, Jesus. But his name was Yeshua, Redeemer, Anointed of God. "And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said unto her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." In Luke, we come to a very important phrase, a powerful phrase, a meaningful phrase, a phrase that is life-changing. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. "May it be done unto me according to your word." Mary heard the word of the Lord. Mary accepted the word of the Lord, even though it caused consternation. How can this be? How can I give birth to a baby when I've never been with a man? In today's society, there's a lot of ladies that would like to be able to have a family without a man. Mary was just the beginning of that trend. But what is important for you to understand is The Word of God is the incorruptible seed. And when she said, "Be it unto me according to your word," she received the seed of the word, and she became pregnant with the word she received. Right. How many of us could change our financial position, wow, our physical position, our mental position, if we would accept the impregnation of the seed of the Word of God and become pregnant with that seed that says, "I'll supply all of your need. With His stripes you were healed. You can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability." If we would allow ourselves to be impregnated with that Word, what could we produce? Mary received the Word of the Lord and said, "Be it unto me according to your word." And she received that word as her own. And she gave birth to the word of the Lord, clothed in human flesh. And the word took on flesh and took up residence among us. Because Mary believed and received the word of the Lord, a Redeemer King was born and a kingdom was launched. Because Moses believed and received the word of the Lord that came to him, a people were redeemed from 400 years of captivity, and a nation was birthed because he received a word from the Lord. What could happen in your life by receiving a word from the Lord into your spirit man? But in the case of Moses, not all the people believed nor received the word of the Lord. Hebrews says, "And to whom did he swear?" What people did he swear to? His very own chosen people, who could have been walking in abundance, but they wouldn't take the word of the Lord. It's too good a story. A land flowing with milk and honey, farms we didn't plant, orchards we didn't tend, harvests we didn't prepare for, houses we didn't build. You're just going to give us a nation? That's too good to be true. We've been making bricks for 400 years. We don't even have a home. And to whom did he swear? The people he was trying to save. That they would not enter his rest. What was his rest? The promised land, where everything they needed was taken care of. There were even slaves waiting to tend their crops for them. All they had to do was just show up. It was to those who were disobedient to the word God gave them. Had Mary been disobedient to the word, God would have had to find another way to bring a redeemer. Had Moses been disobedient to the word, he would have had to raise up another redeemer. Don't make God replace you. Whatever word God brings you, say, "All right, Lord, be it unto me according to your word." So we see that they were not able to enter into the rest God had prepared for them and possess the promised blessing of the word because of unbelief. Unbelief is an ugly thing that God considered a sin more notable than fornication, more notable than drunken debauchery. In the church today, you can get kicked out for a shucky darn. But God was not concerned about what the people said as much as what they believed. In your notes, you notice I put unbelief, not believing what God said. You, not believing is unbelief. Believing is a simple thing. God, you said it. You cannot lie. Therefore, with his stripes, I was healed. God, you said it. I'm a tither and a giver. You supply all of my need. God, you said it. You would never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, this loneliness is a lie. God, you said you were the strength of my life. Therefore, this weakness has to pass. Unbelief. You not believing. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. How much is possible to you today if you believe what God said to you? Mary birthed the light of life into a darkened world through believing the word of the Lord. John 1:4, in him was life. What does that mean to you, in him was life? Well, him was the earthen vessel, and in him was the word of God, walking, talking, and demonstrating. And that word was the light of men, the illumination of our darkened state so that we could see what really is and what God intended for it to be. I don't consider it a coincidence that the Christmas season is marked with lots of lights. Because people, whether they realize it or not, are bearing witness when they begin to put up all of the lights for the season, that the light of the world came. But the light of the world is not a candle. It's not a light bulb. The light of the world is, it is written. Because it breaks the darkness of not knowing, not understanding, not finding a way. If you can find the word on anything, you can find a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All you got to do is come to me and believe what I said. Man had a hard time accepting the law, so God put a living example of the word walking and talking so that we could believe. They say seeing is believing. And God let man see a miracle. God let man see a salvation. God let man see a resurrection. God let man see authority taken over the storm. He let man see authority to change the atomic structure of elements when the water was turned to wine. When a sack lunch fed a crowd of 5,000 with leftovers. I want to encourage you today. The sin of unbelieving destroys people when they don't even realize it's taking place. Pastor, how do I know if I'm believing? It affects your expectation. It's that simple. How does Asia know she's believing God in something? She's expecting it to happen. How does David know he's believing God in anything? He is looking for it to take place. Believing is very simple. God, you said it. Now I'm looking for it. I may not see it this moment, but I will see it because you said it. Your word cannot fail, fall short, or come up empty. Your word stands forever. Whether the word is spoken by God, many people say, if I could just hear God speak to me one time, I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. I've told you before, I have a strange experience with God. He talks to me in everything. I was watching an old Western last night because there wasn't anything else on television. And I was watching Big Country. And there's a scene in there where a girl says she was upset because her man wouldn't fight another man in her presence and wouldn't ride a wild horse in her presence, but he did it when no one else was around. And she said, why would he let me think I'm a coward? I mean, why would he let me think he's a coward? Because he wouldn't do these things. And the person said to him, how could you think he was a coward if you loved him? And the Lord said, did you hear that? And I said, yes, sir. If we can't take his word for a situation, and we have to say, you've got to prove yourself to me. Do we love him? When I was in Vietnam, it was common for guys to get worried about their girl back home. And I would watch the guys on mail call, and they'd get a letter, and all of a sudden they were totally changed. The doubt was broken. The fear was gone for at least a few days anyway. Because they would read, I love you with all my heart. You can every day pick up a love letter from God. And you can be reassured. You may not be able to see him, touch him, feel him, but his word cannot be broken, annulled, or set aside, and his word stands forever. And his word reminds you of his great love to you. And unbelief is broken when you can believe what he said. Yes, sir. Unbelief is one of the biggest sins to God, if you read Hebrews. It's bigger than all the physical frailties that we sometimes allow. He said, you can get away with a whole lot of things, but you got to believe me. Because if you don't believe me, we have no basis for relationship. Whether you're written by God or spoken by God, or whether repeated by an angel or by a man who heard from God like Moses, believing, receiving, and acting on the word that comes to you can cause you to change the world. Your world, and then the world. Believe this, God loved you so much. He gave you a physical example in our Lord and Redeemer. And he wanted you to partake of the word so much that he, in that feed trough, he allowed his son to be laid in a feed trough to remind you that if you had to eat of that bread, like the prophet said, I desire your word more than my necessary bread. Eating of that word of life will change your life. If it's between the covers of your new covenant, it belongs to you. Make the determination today, Daddy God, I want to give you a present on your birthday. I determined in 2017 to believe your word as never before, to receive your word as it is to me, an oracle from God. I will act upon that word. I will be transformed by that word, and I will change the world around me because of that word. That word was so important to you that you caused the word to become flesh in the person of your son, so that I could see how the word behaves. Now I choose to depart from unbelief, believe that you are God, that all things are possible through you, Nothing is impossible to you. And you have empowered me to walk in the fullness of every promise in your covenant to me. I call you the blessed of the Lord. I decree that the word of truth is working in you as never before, that you are coming alive to your new covenant. In that covenant, you will rise up in a new strength and determination, and you will do exploits in the name of the Lord, and you will set captives free, because His word in your mouth equals miracles and signs and wonders in your future. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Lay hold of His word, and you have laid hold of His anointing. God bless you. God prosper you. God bring you to His fullness in this new year. And I say this with a full and joyful heart. Merry Christmas to you and to yours. Love somebody and go with God.